Good morning, friends, and thank you for joining us what we're calling a conspiracy of goodness. Playing the songs and telling the stories of our friends and neighbors from across the region and our world, Larry Long. Recording the songs and the stories, the sounds of our communities, Brett Hughes. I'm Tom Thibodeau, and today we celebrate the Tree of Life.
Black rock of the west, so the people they might live. To the red rock of the north, so the people they might live. To the yellow rock of the east, so the people they might live. To the white rock of the south, what more can I give?
I go to the tree of life, I lay my burdens down. I go to the tree of life, I lay my burdens down. I go to the tree of life, I lay my burdens down. And I pray, I pray.
Oh, Takashi love, thank you for this day. The moon, the morning star, the sun, the earth, the rain. Oh, Takashi love, grandfather please, care for Mother Earth with each breath I breathe.
Isn't it amazing that in the last few years we've discovered our roots again through Ancestry.com or 23andMe and a number of other online tools to go back into our family histories? A good friend of mine, Pat Kerrigan, was teaching in the Peace Corps in 1973 in South Korea, and he was teaching English, and he wanted the students in the class to look back at their work histories in their families. What did their parents and their grandparents do for work? And he said, go back as far as you can. And afterwards, a young man came up in halting English, and he said, Mr. Kerrigan, I think I can only go back to the 15th century. Would that be okay? He said, that would be fine. Isn't it interesting, in oral traditions, they go back for centuries, remembering the ancestors, and now we need internet help. Well, I have a story of a family tree that goes back to 1638 in Burgundy, France. My uncle Ernest Joseph Wilbrod Marcoulier, retired at age 65. He lived to be 95, and in those 30 years, he went back and retraced our family tree, 1638 in Burgundy region of France, and they came over to what was now known as Nova Scotia. And while they were there, the new French who had come to this land saw the abundance of food and fruits and wild game and fresh water and land that seemed to grow everything, that they called it Acadia, which means paradise. Well, shortly after that, of course, there is not war in the kingdom that chases the French off the land to other parts further inward. And our family then escaped to Quebec. From Quebec, after centuries, they found themselves moving into northern Michigan and northern Michigan into northern Wisconsin. But I go back and I look at those French roots of people who came over looking for a new way of life, chased off the land, the hardship they must have experienced, those cold winters in Quebec, how they must have huddled close together, told stories and played music, remembering where they had come from, but with a dream of who they might become. I am the beneficiary of their courage and their dreams. It certainly is a tree of life.
To all nations of this earth, to the winged ones in flight, to the women giving birth on this sacred road of life, a voice I now send. What more can I do? I offer you my flesh, and the rest, it's up to you.
I go to the tree of life, I lay my burdens down. I go to the tree of life, I lay my burdens down. I go to the tree of life, I lay my burdens down. And I pray.
The tree of life is a symbol for all of human history. And as recounting my own personal history, it's the same for yourselves. We all come from refugee backgrounds. All of our ancestors were migrants coming from other places in the world. And history always shows us that when people get settled, oftentimes there's wars and disagreements, oftentimes driven by greed. Well, when the British came to Nova Scotia and reestablished New Scotland, if you will, the French were pushed off of the land that they had called Acadia. Some, like my ancestors, went up to Quebec, where there was another French settlement. Others went to the other French territory in North America, which was Louisiana. The Acadians then become, if you will, what we understand now as Cajun, developing their own culture and music and food that remembered who they always were. Isn't it interesting that culture oftentimes is strengthened by oppression? But it wasn't easy. It takes courage. It takes a sense of resilience. And that's how the tree of life grows. Isn't it interesting? When we look at a tree that has lived for centuries, it's knotted and gnarled and strong. Isn't that our own history?
Tom, history can be a pretty tricky thing, can it not? Your relations, as mine, all came across the Atlantic with hopes to build a better life, some fleeing persecution while others simply for an economic opportunity. But regretfully, that opportunity landed on the back of sovereign First Nation people who experienced a great assault and genocide against their people. Yet in spite of the slaughter, their culture survived. And not only survived, but has blossomed like those trees in the forest whose seeds have taken root and grown for generations and generations to come. I've been so very blessed to build strong relationships with those in the First Nation community, some of whom invited me into some of their most sacred ceremonies, in which the song Tree of Life was written in honor of a ceremony where I took flight from beneath the limbs of a cottonwood tree, and I soared on eagle's wings, bathed in the radiance of orange, red, yellow, and white light, were the ancestors surrounding the arbor below. And then with a voice as clear as day, I heard my mother say, Now go home and take care of your family. And so I did. To all nations of this earth, to the winged ones in flight, to the women giving birth on the sacred road of life, a voice I now send, what more can I do? I offer you my flesh, and the rest is up to you. I go to the tree of life, I lay my burdens down, and I pray. As Suzanne Simard writes in her book, Finding the Mother Tree, a crude map revealed stunningly that the biggest, oldest timbers are the sources of fungal connections to regenerating seedlings. And not only that, but they also connect to all neighbors, young and old, serving as the linchpins of threads and synapses and nodes that has similarities to our own human brains, chemicals identical to our own neurotransmitters, signals created by eons cascading across fungal membrane. The older trees are able to discern which seedlings are their own kin. The old trees nurture the young ones and provide them food and water just as we do with our own children. When mother trees die, they pass their wisdom on to their kin, generation after generation, sharing the knowledge of what helps and what harms, who is friend or foe, and how to adapt and survive in an ever-changing landscape. It's what all parents do. Perhaps that's why my wife and I instinctually placed the placentas from our children's birth into the ground to give nourishment to the roots of their birth trees, which are now giving shade to their children. As it remains to be so with the maple tree my father and I planted many years ago before he passed, now standing 60 feet tall, which was the inspiration behind this song, The Eyes of My Father.
The tree in the backyard of the house where I once lived was planted by my father and I when I was a kid. It was but a sapling, but now it's 60 foot tall, giving shade to the greenhouse in the corner in the park, walking with my father after school in the dark. You're my favorite son, my dad laughed, but Dad, I'm your only one. The eyes of my father, oh, they're looking down on me. His hair was red and curly, not a wrinkle in his pants. He had a way of talking that made everybody laugh. He taught me how to fish and how to play baseball. Sold coffee for a living, chain smoking cigarettes. The suits that he wore, he had them tailored by the best. He looked like a million, though we just made ends meet, that's all. The eyes of my father, oh, they're looking down on me. He was raised in the city. After school he got chased home by a gang of children that wouldn't leave my dad alone, until he decided to fight back each time he'd fall. Fought in the Pacific back in World War II on a big battleship, and when the war was through,
came home and got married to a girl from Des Moines, my mom. The eyes of my father, oh, they're looking down on me. Everybody knew him by the name of Red. When he would snap his belt, I knew it was time for bed. Drinking pots of coffee at midnight, he stared at the wall. Had a hard time talking about what he felt inside till the day he took me driving to share what was on his mind. A man don't live forever, one day, son, I'll be gone. The eyes of my father, oh, they're looking down on me. Corner grocery owner in the city, it's been said, brought food to the doorstep for the family of Red. No one could believe it when they got the news. This man who helped people in better health than he, this man who never missed a game I played in Little League. It's not the kind of work you do, son, it's who you are. The eyes of my father, oh, they're looking down on me. To that greenhouse in the park with his grandson to share with him my heart. Beside that maple tree now standing 60 foot tall. For years I was angry at your grandpa 'cause he died. Now I see that love of laughter in your eyes. You're my favorite son, I laugh with Dad, I'm your only one. The eyes of my father, oh, they're looking down on me. The eyes of my father, down on me. Whoa. Well, Tom, it's been a joy to be with you this Monday morning again, and to be with all of our friends out there listening to our program of Conspiracy of Goodness. We thank you all for listening. Have yourself a great week.
Until we see each other again, peace and all good.
You have been listening to Conspiracy of Goodness with Larry Long and Tom Thibodeau, produced and recorded by Brett Hoos. For more information about Larry and Tom, please visit www.larrylong.org and www.tomttalks.com. We look forward to being with you next week. Thank you for listening.